It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void. We're prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi there, and thanks once again for tuning in to another show from the Glasgow is Green podcast, aka GigPod. I'm Stevie, and I am sorry to say that Rizzo is no longer with us for this episode as he's busy with other duties. So I've asked GigPod's number one fan and biggest social media clout chaser there is to appear with me for episode 27. But unfortunately, Janie Godley was unavailable, so I've had to settle for Spunkphone. Spunkphone, thanks for filling in here for the uncharismatic but legendary Rizzo.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be back on, Stevie. Obviously, you spoke to me earlier on, asked me to come on and sort of fill in for Rizzo last minute, and knowing me, you know, I can never say no to GigPod, so, no, pleasure to be back on.
I think when I was talking to you as well, it was funny, because you just had your jammies on, and you said to me you didn't want to get changed in case I didn't want you or anything, but I thought, you know what, as long as I'm here, you're the reason I'm here. I had to, brother.
It's brilliant. I hope you put in the 20-second round of applause there as well.
Right. I'm going to have to move on quickly, or I will just keep this gimmick up with you for the next half hour, because we are capable of that. So, listen, before we get on to talking about Celtic's mighty 2-1 win over Motherwell, you caused poor Duco James to revisit his childhood trauma with your Bud Dwyer patter. When we were recording that, it was myself, Sean and James, and he just hit me with it out of nowhere. And I thought for a minute, has Spunkphone put him up to this? Is this a work? And then all of a sudden, it was apparent that James was reliving a real nightmare of his past. And you must have been listening to that, partly horrified, but also partly just loving it.
I was an absolute bits at that, to be fair. Part of me did think, when I first heard that he was maybe working a work, but what a coincidence, yeah. I actually posted the full video earlier over on Twitter. And
oh, good.
Somehow it's still up, but I'm sure Duco James enjoyed that.
Cool, that won't cause any problems then. Fuck's sake. Right, moving on, right. Celtic at the weekend. We beat Motherwell 2-1. Scott Brown came back in the team. Tom Rogic came in the team. There was a lot of people up in arms about it. Greeting on social media that I noticed for the 20 seconds or so that I was on before I realised I don't think Motherwell are going to cause us too many problems. Unfortunately, though, the longer-term problem with that team was we're not going to learn anything new, because guys like Scott Brown and Tom Rogic and a Celtic team, you already know they should be good enough to beat a team like Motherwell, but I would have enjoyed seeing, you know, Michael Johnston playing for the start. I would have really enjoyed seeing the boy Henderson playing. Soro should have been in for the start as well. These are the games we have to start preparing for the future on already. I said against Kilmarnock, it's all about the future now. Guys like Scott Brown should be getting used very, very sparingly. But I think his goal and his performance against Kilmarnock, I said to Rizzo that you're going to see Scott Brown in that team far more frequently, probably more than Soro. And do you disagree with me or agree with me on that one? Do you reckon this is just a wee few games for Scott Brown to get eased back in before Soro comes in, before this tough run we've got starting from Wednesday.
You never know with Lennon, that's the thing. I mean, to be fair to Brown, he came in on, it was Tuesday, he played Kilmarnock, wasn't it? And I wasn't too sure why he'd dropped Soro for him, but he'd played well enough that I thought, you're going to struggle to drop him at the weekend, obviously. But, you know, with Brown at the weekend on Saturday against Motherwell, he just looked completely off the pace. I mean, I don't know what he gives us at this point that Soro doesn't, defensively and obviously looking to get the ball forward. I think he just slows the game down at this point. You'd be much better having Soro on the side. Taking away sort of positives from that game, Stephen Welsh was really good. Thought he was a well-deserved man of the match, and Edward as well seems to be getting back to his best. But other than that, it was a really disjointed, poor performance, wasn't it?
For 60 minutes, I thought, certainly the first half, I thought the tempo and the intensity was excellent. Where was all that earlier in the season? And okay, you've taken Christie out, right? And you've put Kenny in there at right back, and there's already more of a balance. Can you imagine like sort of James Forrest ahead of Kenny as well? That would be such a dynamic and frightening right side we've got. It's just annoying because are they performing were they performing that well because the pressure's off? And that's the bit of me that just gets me, because when we really needed that Celtic team to be blowing teams away and to be aggressively pressing and to be really, really commanding on the ball, chasing everything down and just being clinical, we didn't see anywhere near enough of it in the first half of the season. And it is just frustrating, so it is, just seeing that Celtic team, the way they played for the first hour, thinking, yeah, this is more like it. But of course, they reverted back to type, because when that goal went in for Motherwell, mentally they just fell apart. It was shocking. Had it not been for a bit of luck at the end, with the clearance as well, could it easily been 2-each? In fact, it could have been 2-each before it. So I think that Devante Cole missed a great chance. And Motherwell were shocking. They're a bad, bad football team. They wouldn't have deserved anything, and yet we were hanging on at times against them, which was a really bad sign.
Yeah, no, they're a very, very poor side. I think you're right enough. I think it was maybe being a wee bit harsh in saying the performance overall was poor. Certainly that last half hour or so was abysmal. Motherwell, with the chances they had last 10, 15 minutes, I thought were very unlucky not to get something from that game. And then a kind of similar situation, similar place in the table as well to Kilmarnock, who we obviously played well against during midweek, but it's all too little too late, isn't it, at this point? It's glorified friendlies we're going to be playing from now until May. I don't get very much out of watching this Celtic team at the minute, I must admit, even when they've upped the tempo and they do look a wee bit better and a bit more of a threat. It's a tough watch still, I think.
Your thoughts initially on the boy Kenny, because even if he impresses and even if he's good for us, you know that long term he's going to go back down to Everton or he'll end up at a Championship team in England. That's what happens with these guys. And as good as he's going to be and as much as he's actually been competent so far, I'm of the mindset that I'm not letting myself get this big love in with him, because you already know what's going to happen. You know where he's going to end up. And in the end, as I said on here with loan players, we're developing these players for the other teams. And we're giving these guys match fitness. We're putting them in the window, essentially, for other teams if they're looking to buy them off their parent club. And you already know that he's not going to have a future at Celtic next season, no matter what he spouts to the media and what he says on Celtic's channels when he's interviewed by Jerry McCulloch.
I really enjoyed him on commentary on Saturday, actually, I must admit. It was really great to hear him for not just, you know, the pre-match chat and the half-time chat, but for the full 90 minutes of the game as well. Great presenter, very lucky to have him here. Just with reference to Kenny as well, I think you're right in saying he has looked reasonably competent so far, and I've liked what I've seen. But again, you're right in saying there's no point in getting attached. There's no point in, you know, this big love in or anything like that. He's not going to be here next season. His long term future is certainly not at Celtic. Really, it's just a stopgap signing, isn't it? As good as I think he's looked so far, it's certainly not the long-term solution, I don't think, at right back.
No, but he is stopping Tony Ralston get a game for us, and we should all be thankful for that spunk phone.
Oh, absolutely. I thought he was away doing his apprenticeship anyway, Ralston.
Well, you're saying, oh, we're both actually saying that Kenny's likely not to be here next season, but the future of a man who may or may not be here next season is still up in the air. Neil Lennon has been talking, right? Certainly his quotes where he was speaking. A lot of people seem to be reading into it that he's going to be here next season. And he has come out and he's basically said he's happy with the way he's dealt with things this season and his conscience is clear about how he's went about his work. He says in a perverse kind of way, he quite enjoys it. Okay, normal behaviour, but moving on. He says he doesn't take anything personally. I guess that's a lie. He has evidence to back up what he's achieved in the game here, and he hasn't been able to do that this season, but he's not running out or giving up on his players. He thinks he's got a fine squad, and it's just not been ever dear. Hopefully, that can change over the next couple of seasons. Now, it's the bit at the end where he's talking like that, where he says, hopefully that can change over the next couple of seasons. Now, Rizzo already thought that there's a very good chance that Lennon would be the manager next season. But then Rizzo also thought there was going to be a statue getting built. So let's just rein that in a wee bit. But he did say he would not be shocked if Rizzo's manager. He did say he would not be shocked if Lennon was still the manager next season. And at the time, I said Bosch Flimshaw, but the more I think about it, he's got a point because he's used Liverpool time and time again, and he's compared Celtic to Liverpool in terms of reigning champions that have had a nightmare. But you're remembering Liverpool aren't they up against the likes of Hibs and Aberdeen, and with the greatest of respect, of course, like St Mirren and all that to play. And the other teams that we have dropped points against this year, Liverpool have, you know, dropped points against teams like Man United, who are still in Europe, Man City, who are hardly assembled on a budget. I think Neil Lennon genuinely is using that as justification, and I think he's using them as this weird sort of bargaining tool with the board. He's bringing COVID into it time and time again. But I have this mental feeling that with the incoming CEO and the fact that we have got a very short turnaround in the summer when it comes to playing these Champions League qualifiers, we've got a lot of players leaving. I've just got this crazy feeling that the CEO is going to go, we've already got a lot of the squad missing. We've got the qualifiers in a couple of weeks. I think we should just maybe go with Neil to get us through these qualifiers. He knows the club. The famous catchphrase incoming, he knows the city. It could be that if he guides us through these qualifiers, he might get a shot next season. I could be completely wrong on that one because I understand there's been season tickets to be sold, right? But when has that ever stopped Celtic fans before in the past? A lot of Celtic fans, right, online and all that, will go, oh, no chance I'm renewing, get to fuck. Never, never, never. But the reality is, the online Celtic fan base does not represent the wide-scale fan base that we know the Celtic support to be, the IRL one, if you will. So, if it comes to Neil Lennon, his manager still in May, and he's not left by them, I genuinely think that next season we could be going into the campaign with him as manager.
This is the thing, because the last time I was on here, we done the preview to, I think it was AC Milan away game, wasn't it? And at that point I had in my mind, I was dead set. I said, like, Neil Lennon will not be here. He'll not see out the season. I cannot envisage how he's going to come out of that run that we went on the other side and be the manager here next summer. Reading those comments this morning, I'm going to be honest with you, my heart sank. It really ruined my morning. And I get he's, you know, delusional, for lack of a better term, and he does say a lot of things, but it was that comment at the end where he's talking about the next couple of seasons, and then I think he said at the end of that, the next 3, 4, 5. I mean, it is concerning, and I think you might be onto something there with that shoot prediction. With the turnover of players, outgoing CEO and Dominic Mackay coming in as well, they might look at him as potentially the safe pair of hands again. That's what I'm starting to worry. The only potential thing I'm thinking there is, despite your point obviously about the IRL Celtic fan base, I don't know, with the season ticket renewals and the uncertainty as well at the moment as to when fans will be back in stadiums, even at the start of next season, I don't think they can afford to gamble on keeping Neil Lennon on and thinking there'll be 50,000-60,000 season ticket holders waiting at the other side of it, because I don't think there will be. after the monumental failure that was this season.
They couldn't afford the gamble of having him here for the 10 in a row season. They couldn't afford the gamble of carrying on after not getting a shot on target against Rangers. They couldn't afford the gamble after the European disaster and the total humiliations of Sparta Prague. So as much as the Celtic board and the club in general are not into doing risky things, I think when it comes to Neil Lennon and getting shot at him and keeping a lot of the fans on side, they are. They're being very risky with that. And I just don't see this having a straightforward conclusion now. The easiest thing to do would have been coming out with a statement and just saying, yeah, it's not went to plan this year. We apologise and we hold our hands up for how this has turned out. Neil Lennon has obviously been a great servant to the club. Louis has won as a player. Louis has won as a manager, yes. But the time is to move on. Look at how Chelsea handled the Frank Lampard thing, you know? Totally impeccable. And look at them now. They're already building for next season and they're doing very well under their new manager too. Celtic should be using this opportunity to say bye to Neil Lennon in a dignified manner and bringing in someone for the next few months to build on next season for these qualifiers. And the fact that Rangers are going to likely have one foot in front of us, I've said it time and time again on here, I think the club still just take it for granted that the fans, no matter what, no matter what the bubble of social media says, that the fans are still going to go, yeah, fair enough, we can't say no to Celtic, we love them too much. That's just my gut instinct on it. But let me ask you this one. If Neil Lennon is still the manager next season, will you do a Bud Dwyer and finish Duke James for good?
If Neil Lennon is still here next May or June, whenever it might be, I can confidently say right now that I will be doing a Bud Dwyer on the Celtic Way, outside the Superstore, on the launch day for the new home strip, as Dominic Mackay watches on from his office inside Parkhead in horror. That is my direct message right now to the Celtic board.
So I just need to move on now, right? Because we kind of keep talking about your impending demise, Spunk Phone. So you wanted to also talk today about our rivals drawing one each away to Hamilton. Please, the floor is yours to shoot here.
What really worked me into a shoot was the social media reaction to Alan McGregor being absolutely raging at conceding a 94th minute equaliser. Now, Alan McGregor, it's well documented that the guy has serious anger issues, right? I'm not going to argue with that. I'm totally on board with the idea that he needs some form of counselling. But it was the folk I was seeing on social media laughing about it, laughing at Alan McGregor being raging at Rangers dropping points, this, that, and the next thing. I mean, Jesus Christ, is that how far we've fallen? Because that's the thing I used to see, like, we would rightfully rip Rangers fans for. And now I'm seeing it for Celtic fans, and I don't know, it just really worked me into a shoot. What's your thoughts on it, Stevie?
I think if we had a player after conceding in the last minute, or even drawing a game that we should win, I would actually be all for it. I'd like to see more of our players this season getting angry, because we've been so passive. And I don't want to use a cliche with the whole passion wins you games. It doesn't. Technical ability and skill and creativity and good management wins you games. But it doesn't hurt. You know what I mean? So it would have been nice at some point during this season to see our players, instead of being so passive and calm about appalling results, losing up once in a while and actually show to the fans who are having to watch for home, hating this situation of constant streams to games, listening to Jerry McCulloch talk crap. It's the fact that we're like still 21 points behind. Like, see if it was, that's the sort of game, right? What annoys me even more is see when Hamilton scored that goal. That's the sort of time when if you're neck and neck in a title race or sort of a few points in it, you celebrate that goal as if Celtic themselves had scored against Rangers in the 90th minute. Like, you are jumping, you're like head on the ball and all that when the ball comes in, and then you're like rattling the rebound, watching it in the living room. You know what I mean? You've been there before, and it's so, so amazing when there's another team that takes points off them in a game that really matters, and you're going for the title, and there's no lot in it. You know what I mean? That's what it's all about. It's just such a feeling of frustration into games like that today, because we've not put that Rangers team under any pressure to see if they could actually handle it or not. And they play Kilmarnock next weekend, who will probably have a new manager, and Tommy Wright. I'd be stunned if they didn't beat them at Ibrox. You never know. But even then, if they even draw in that one, it's like they still only get like four games or something to win the league, and they're going to achieve it. So any laughing at them, it's pretty much futile because you're not going to hear the end of it after they eventually do clinch it.
Certainly no, and I'm looking forward to that big party in George Square in May, by the way. I'm sure that'll end well. Just with reference to putting this Rangers team under pressure as well. I mean, obviously with the previous 2 years and the sort of collapses after the winter break, there's obviously the question mark there of whether this Rangers team would have handled the pressure or no, but it's all if, buts and maybes at this point, really, isn't it? I don't really want to get into hypotheticals about, you know, if we'd won this game or if we'd sat Lennon then or if we'd done this or that. It's done. Like you say, they're going to achieve it 4 or 5 games, whenever it might be for now. It's over and it has been for a long while. And yeah, no. My shoot there was just, I don't really see the point in laughing at the minute because we're not going to hear the end of this when they do clinch 55. So no, I don't know if that's how people get their kicks, and fair enough, but not for me.
Do you know how I said earlier that I think Lennon's really going to go for a strong finish with the players that we've got to now, so that we can cement second place for a start, but also have Rangers sort of looking over their shoulder for next season? I have this horrible feeling that we're going to, it's not a horrible feeling to obviously beat Rangers at Ibrox, right, that's great, but I reckon our social media team are going to be nightmares about it, because do you remember that game in 2019 when they beat us 2-0? Scott Arfield scored, I think, and it was a bit of a skish for them. We'd already won the league, and I think they put on a tweet after it, something about can't wait for next season. Do you know the one I'm talking about here?
I know exactly the tweet you're talking about. It was something like excited for next season already. It was just after we'd won the treble and announced that Lennon was, had been offered the job, and it was that gif of Scott Arfield in the knee slide and the big daft salute after they beat us 2-0 at Ibrox. I know exactly the one you're talking about.
I just get this feeling that our social media team are going to go overboard when we do beat Rangers next, give it the big licks, see our Glasgow's ours again after we've lost the league, give it, oh aye, this is, fucking listen to me, Glasgow's Green Podcast, Christ, but they're going to just give it, the egos are going to be swelling, and it'll be, can't wait for next season's party, stuff like that, and it's just going to be so brutal, because the players that achieved that, if we do indeed beat them, as I said, they're going to be away, we're going to end up just getting laughed at for it again. You said you don't want to do a hypothetical, I get that. It's just got this horrible sort of vision about it. I dearly hope I'm wrong, but we can move on to our predictions ahead of the St Mirren game. We're playing them on Wednesday. It's one of our games in hand, and we could get the points difference from 21 down to a measly 18. How do you see that one going?
I don't know how to predict Celtic this season, to be honest. I don't even want to try anymore. One thing I will say is St Mirren are obviously on a bit of a decent run at the moment. Beat us obviously at Parkhead a few weeks ago, so you'd hope there's at least some sort of a reaction for that. In terms of prediction as to how the game will go, I'm not too sure, but in terms of lineup, I'd like to see Soro back in. Whether Christie's fit or no, then hopefully he'd come back in for Rogic, as much as he's incredibly frustrating to watch, and I do have my fair share of digs at him on Twitter. I just think we looked much better with the likes of Soro and Christie in the lineup than Brown and Rogic, particularly on Saturday. So that's the only thing I'd really like to see for Celtic in midweek against St Mirren. But in terms of how the game will go, who knows? We could be good for 50, 60 minutes again and then just fall off the last half hour and completely capitulate. You never know.
Right, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to do a shoot prediction here, and I think Celtic will edge it 2-1. After I review that game with Rizzo, we are playing on Sunday at McDermott Park, and I don't think I'm going to have a happy shoot prediction for that one, but that, again, will be down near the time. So are you definitely not going to give me a score at all?
Honestly, it's too tough to predict. I think if I was to go for something right now, I'd say, I think we'll maybe drop points, but I don't know if they'll beat us again. I'll give you a shoot prediction. I'll go with 1-1.
It's just the fact that that's how far we have failed, as you said earlier, because it's not even a bold shout anymore. It's just, well, it's a very good chance that it happens, but we shall see. I'm going to stick with 2-1 Celtic. I think we'll edge it for that one. I reckon Eddie will get back in the score sheet. There's Gig Pod Chats to Harold Bratback, which is already out on iTunes, Spotify, everywhere you get your podcasts. Put it out last night. Didn't do any promos. Check today and hundreds of you millions of you are downloading it. So that is class. Did you hear my wee gaff at the start of that one?
I did not, no.
The bit when I said to Harold, oh, I read that you're back flying after the pandemic.
Oh,
and then he went, oh no, I got laid off again. And I went, oh, right, anyway, I've just been stabbed. Honestly, that was a nightmare. I think at that point, I just went, listen, I'm going to hang up on it. But no, I managed to just compose myself.
You managed to say, you pulled it back, to be fair.
But yes, this has been episode 27 of GigPod. Spunkphone, you're a man and it needs social media clout, as I said in the opening. So let our listeners know where they can find you. You can list all your accounts if you want.
We've got Spunkphone, which is the main account over on Twitter. And you can also find me at Spunk Telefono as well. I'm desperate for clout. Please, please follow me. Please.
And you mean that there, that's why you got as many pleases in there as possible. You are desperate for that. But listen, I was desperate to have you on today, and I'm glad you've come on. You have very much filled Reedzo's big clown shoes, and you've done it professionally as possible. I'm very surprised there's not been a lot of Brendan Rodgers patter. Maybe you might want to save that for another time. You can hit me with it when I least expect it. Thanks a lot for coming on, brother. Much appreciated.
Pleasure as always, Stevie.
And this indeed has been GigPod episode 27. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, Android, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, anywhere at all. I think we're on about 20 different places now, which is class. And if you can rate us or review us wherever you can, it would be a big help too. Thanks a lot for listening.
Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.